Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's good, everybody? This is the most interactive sports show anywhere. It's Offsides, Mark Ryan and Diesel, and we are the Fan Upstate, rolling on until 7 p.m., hopefully, right here on the most interactive sports show anywhere. 844-FAN-PHONE. That's 844-326-3663. Preferred Home Services text line is there for you at 71307. Just start your text with the word fan and away you go. Coming up on the show today, we've got Tim Frisbee on the Gamecocks coming up at 3:20 p.m. We've got Jake Crane at 4:20 with a prediction that will make Clemson fans happy. There is one quarterback in the National Football League that everybody wants to crown, and I just want to say, can we please stop doing that before the time is here, before the time has arrived? I have got a weird animal slash insecticide problem going on right now. I'm curious what you guys would do for this. I've got around 5 or 6 p.m. every day. Yeah, like a year ago, I posted a video of these things. And I thought they were murder hornets. And people were like, no, they're not murder hornets. They're European hornets, right? Well, around 5 or 6 p.m. each day, on my balcony, I've got like 20 of these things just congregating in the corner of my balcony. And you can't go out there because, like, I don't live on the first floor, and then I'm like trapped in a small space with 20 of these things in the corner, you know? So, like, what I've been doing, and it works for like a day and then they're all back the next day, I've been having a spray bottle with like water and vinegar in there, and I spray the heck out of these things like standing behind the door, you know? I move my arm out, I start spraying them with the water bottle. The next day, they're all congregated again in the corner. And I'm like, man, what do I do? What do I do? I'm sure there's a, like, is there some sort of like onion stench or something that I can put up there where they'll never come back? I don't get it. I don't know what to do. I'm looking at them right now and I'm more disturbed by that than I can ever put into words. We have also, a listener's asked me, what would Clemson do with South Carolina's schedule? What would South Carolina do with Clemson's schedule? We will get you that information. The Gamecocks game against South Carolina State. Man, what wouldn't it be awesome if South Carolina State could become like Florida and Florida State, or Oregon and Oregon State, or Mississippi and Mississippi State? Wouldn't that be really cool? I mean, I know we're a long ways away from that, but that game moved up from Saturday to Thursday. Huge advantage. Huge advantage for the Gamecocks. Why? Because in essence, South Carolina State is like a bye week anyway. And now you have two extra days. All right. You got not one, but two extra days to get ready for Kentucky next week. Kentucky has at Ole Miss this week. So they already were in danger of having like a letdown game against South Carolina. No offense, Gamecocks. That's kind of where you are as a program. You're like the dangerous letdown game. You know, I mean, that's where you are, and that's okay. Right? That is okay. But you remember last year, South Carolina had a bye week before they played Florida. Florida played Georgia the week before they played South Carolina. And then what happens? The Gators are favored by 20. They get run out of the building by 23. All of that stuff, folks, matters. All of that stuff really, 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 really matters. You know, and 2 days off, bye week game against FCS, 2 more days off, 9 days in between. Meanwhile, Kentucky's got to expend all of its resources on the road at Ole Miss in a game against another very, very highly ranked team. And what kind of version of themselves are they going to be for South Carolina the following week? Look, man, you will take those breaks. You will take those advantages as it rolls along. A piece of good news and a piece of bad news coming from me. Piece of good news, and you guys know I'm as open as I possibly can be with you guys about everything. Good news is that today, this has been 5 years in the making. I paid off my automobile today. I can't even tell you how happy I'm about that. When I made my last payment today, they said to me, congratulations. And I was like, yeah, it really does feel like I accomplished something. I didn't miss a single payment. Every month for 5 years, $324.08 comes out of my account. And I've been like looking forward to that being clear. I don't know about you guys, but like, I'm not going to be the bait to all these monthly charges that they're trying to hit us with right now. Oh, you got to get Disney Plus. No, I don't. You got to get HBO Max. No, I don't. You got to get Amazon Prime. No, I don't. Am I the only one who doesn't have Amazon Prime still? Don't want to pay for it. Don't want to do it. I don't like the monthly charges. You know, I probably have fewer monthly charges than anybody else. And this was my biggest monthly charge, you know, and it's done and it dropped off. And I'm elated about that. You know, it's like, ooh, man, $324.08 is now mine a month that I didn't have before. What am I going to do with this extra fundage, right? Very, very thrilled about that. I appreciate your congratulations. I don't like my car, but now my car is mine, you know, so I have that going for me anyway. The bad news is, and I'm not looking to get into a, you know, a political discussion at all, but I chose to get the updated booster shot yesterday, and I am in pretty rough shape today, if I'm honest with you. As a matter of fact, so I got it yesterday, and folks, it's, you know, when you don't feel good after you get a vaccine or a booster, it's a good thing. It's like your body making an immune response to, you know, the virus, the updated virus, etc. When I recently had COVID, I got a very, very, very mild version of it. And it's because of the protection that I have. When it gets exposed to you through the vaccine and through the boosters and everything, what my body does is it freaks out. And so like yesterday, I had it done at 9:30 in the morning, yesterday morning. By the way, Diesel, there is a tech at the Ingles that I went to that used to work with us. And she told me to say hi to you. And I meant to tell you that yesterday. A blonde-haired girl with glasses, and she worked with us previously, part-time, long time, and she said, please tell Diesel I said hello. So she was there, administers my shot, you know, feel fine. Toward the end of the show yesterday, I felt a little bit tired, which isn't abnormal for the end of the show. I hopped in the shower when the show was done, and I got out of the shower, folks, and it was like 8:30, and I started shaking uncontrollably. I took my temperature. It was 101.2. I'm like, man, this is, I can't say I expected this, you know? And I started taking Tylenol, and it did nothing to the fever. And I was like, you know, it's a little unnerving for a while there. You know, it's just like, man, this isn't going down. Like, what's going on, you know? And so that lasted from about 8:30 p.m. till about 4:30 a.m., in which I had no sleep whatsoever and just everything hurts and my neck is aching and fever's aching and I just feel really crappy, which again is the vaccine doing its job, right? It's you're making an immune response, but I just didn't expect it to be that way. And when I, like at 4:35 this morning, I didn't think there was any way in hell I was going to be able to do this today. But as I got up and took Tylenol and the temperature started coming down, I'm like, I have no idea what's going to happen. I have no idea if this thing is going to spike again. I'm a little bit worse for the wear, but, you know, I'm happy to have some protection and to do what we need to do, man. It is not easy, though.
Man, I am mad at the people who had very limited reactions to COVID, to the vaccines and to the boosters, because all three times it kicked my ass. It was not fun. COVID sucked. The vaccine sucked. The booster sucked. Like, I decided a couple of months ago, it's probably been at this point 6 months, yeah. 5 months since I had my last booster. I said, man, I think I'm done getting boosters because this sucks.
Yeah, Diesel, it sucks. And like they're talking about it like being like a once a year thing, like your flu shot is a once a year thing. I feel nothing from the flu shot. Like I got the flu shot last year because I didn't want to, I normally don't get it. But like with COVID around, I don't want to be sick for a couple days, not you know wondering if I have COVID or something else. So I got it last year. I get nothing.
I haven't gotten a flu shot in years.
Yeah, and I got nothing. Like I felt nothing. I didn't feel tired. My arm wasn't sore. I didn't feel a damn thing. But Diesel, this thing, man, like it is like it is like out of nowhere. The craziest thing about it is like the way it hits me out of nowhere. You get hit with like a massive storm. You know, it's like the kind of storm where they warn you on your TV. A severe thunderstorm warning coming. It's going to hit in 15 minutes.
A microburst.
Exactly. Like you are suddenly thunder and lightning and wind and everything. And it, like it came out of nowhere. And then you're like, I think this is one of the 5 or 10 worst I ever felt in my life. Like I don't know if I'm going to make this. Like, I feel so crappy right now. And again, I'm not saying this to you guys so you don't get it. It's a very, very good thing to do, right? And then, like, you can't imagine that it will lift like that. And then, like, you fall asleep for a couple hours, you wake up, and you're like, I don't have a fever anymore. Like, what's, huh? Is it done? Is it coming back? Is it over? Like, I still don't know. You know, I hope I make it through the show today. I hope the aches and the shakes and everything don't come back, but I don't know. I have no idea. And it's just like a horrible storm, and then it's gone. You know, it's just, you blink and it's over.
You had a fever, but did you take the only prescription, which is more cowbell?
I think more explanation is needed there, Diesel.
Oh, that's from the great SNL Blue Oyster Cult bit. I got a fever.
Yeah,
and the only prescription is more cowbell.
Well, I'll tell you what I didn't like, these. So last night, I get out of the shower, I start shaking, and I'm like, this doesn't feel good. And I take the temperature, it's 100.9. I take 2 Tylenol. Half an hour later, it's 101. Half an hour after that, it's 101.2. And I'm like, yeah, this is no bueno, man.
Yeah, like, if you're measuring your temperature in like radio frequency numbers, it's not good.
not good. Not good at all. But anyway, guys, so we're here to rock it out with you today anyway. Let's share the little contest that we have with you going on. The best text message that comes into the show between now and 6 o'clock p.m. will win 2 tickets to Saturday's game, Furman against Samford.
Congratulations to Michigan J. Todd, who won the tickets yesterday.
Yeah, like he picked up on my 5 favorite meals, and he's like, Mark, if you eat those meals, we'll just be glad to have you here next year, brother. Just be glad to have you here next year. Let's see here. Texter says, and look at this. Offsiders already coming through with some helpful advice. I have always been told bees do not like mint. Well, it's not bees. It's those like murder hornets, and I've just doused them all with vinegar water for the second time in as many days.
No, tigers hate cinnamon.
Tigers hate cinnamon.
Yeah.
This is some other reference that I don't get. I understand. Wait. I think I know what this is. Hangover.
Yeah, there you go.
Boom!
Tigers
Boom.
Hate cinnamon.
Yeah, there you go.
They love pepper. They hate cinnamon.
That was Zach Galifianakis, right?
Yeah.
That was Hangover. Boom. Mark, use Tempo Dust. You can get it from any pest control store along with a puffer. I was today years old when I heard of a puffer and Tempo Dust for the first time in my life. I do pest control for a living and took a whole nest out in a few minutes just last week.
I would have thought he was describing a way for you to do psychedelics in the 70s. Tempo Dust and a puffer.
Tempo Dust and a puffer. You sure... Are you sure this form of fumigating is legal, sir?
Did you get that? Make sure you pick up a copy of Pink Floyd's The Wall. Bottle of wine. You're going to have a great night.
You'll be on your way. You'll absolutely be on your way. Folks, I want to, by the way, the contest begins. Best text that comes into the show between now and 6 p.m. gets two tickets to Furman and Samford. And let me tell you, folks, this, the atmosphere, the vibe, everything at Furman, it is the most clean, honest, great sports fun with the family you could ever have. The view, the atmosphere, the view of the mountain range, everything, it is tremendous. It is awesome. Every time I've been there, I'm like, I don't want to leave. Like, I'm going to be the dude that's like camping out under the bleachers and they're going to say, you got to get out of here, man. You've been here too long. Do I have to go? Like, it's that kind of scene. It's that kind of beauty. But folks, I was doing a little research today and homework today, and I'm realizing we're out of time today. So what I'm going to do, I want you to be thinking about this, okay? Thinking about this for the 3:40 and 4 o'clock segments, okay? Who are your least favorite people in sports, okay? Like, who are your all-time or current, okay? But who are the just worst people in sports or the people you detest the most in sports? I want you guys to be thinking about that, right? Because I've got another nominee with some backdrop. I did some show research today by talking to some people in the know here in the upstate. And I want to share that with you. That is coming up at 3:40. But coming up next on the show, we have got Tim Frisbee, who's joining us next to talk Gamecocks with us. Does this moving up of the South Carolina State game dramatically enhance the chances that the Gamecocks could pull a stunner in Lexington? Oh, 11 days from right now. I'm going to answer in the affirmative on that one. Okay, guys, we're one segment down on a 12-segment jam, and we're grateful to have you with us here on Offsides, the Fan Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Offsides, Mark Ryan and Diesel. We are the Fan Upstate. Great to be with you on a Super Tuesday edition of the show. Best text between now, best text that you guys send, the Offsiders, between now and 6 p.m. gets two free tickets to Furman and Samford this coming Saturday. Just a gorgeous backdrop at Furman. One of the most beautiful scenes you've ever seen in college football. Great time for a great game. I will be out there as well for some pregame festivities. We will have a VIP winner, and I'll go down to the field with you. So it's going to be fantastic. I mean, it is cool, man. It is really, really cool. And like I've shared this with you guys, like at the college basketball level, with everyone getting paid and determining where you're going based on who's paying you, and with morons or... I don't want to call him a moron. Maybe he's really smart. But like Jordan Addison, who leaves Pitt to become a free agent and signs on to USC for $3 million, I find myself gravitating toward like the Furman level of basketball. I find myself gravitating toward the Furman level of football. And let me tell you, to be on the field, it's really cool. It is really, really freaking cool. Joining us right now is our guest that joins us each and every Tuesday at this time. His name is Tim Frisbee. You know him as Pops. He's been on The Late Show with David Letterman, Late Night with Jay Leno, and he joins us right now on the show. Tim, I am humored by the emotional back and forth of Gamecock fans who, like, now everything is right and everything is hunky-dory and now we have a running game. And last week the sky was falling and the only thing that changed was the opponent, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we talked about that last week. Listen, we don't have a running game yet. As seen, we had a running game, versus Charlotte. That's what we had a running game against. That we were expected to do that. If you didn't come into that game thinking you're going to be able to run the ball down their throats, then you have more problems than we see on the surface. So no, I would say they're very delusional in that fact. What I said that South Carolina can get out of this game is building confidence in individuals, individuals' performance that they can do something at this level that they've been trying to do, that they get some more reps under their belt, more confidence. But does that mean South Carolina has an identity yet? Absolutely not.
Tim Frisbee joining us here on the show this afternoon. The big news today is the game is getting moved up. South Carolina State moved up from Saturday until up to Thursday, which is cool. They get to play the game, etc. First things first, Jim, Tim, on this matchup, what do you want to see in this game?
Well, you would like to see, more vertical threats down the field. Okay, we've worked on the running game. We've established that, yes, against, teams like Charlotte, teams I would suppose like South Carolina State, you're going to be able to run the ball. So let's start. I'd like to see a mix of more of the passing game in that. Unfortunately, what we're probably going to do is see a replay of that Charlotte game where we're going to run the ball down their throats. Well, we're supposed to be able to do that, and we should be able to do that. So I don't know how much more you get out of the game. So hopefully they're going to implement some more of the vertical passing game and see if we can get downfield some and boost some performance levels from receivers and get them reps and get them believing that they can do that in SEC competition.
Tim, you know what's interesting? This is the fourth season you and I have been doing this every single week. We started, I moved here in January 2019. In August, September of 2019, we started, got through the COVID year 2020, 2021, 2022. I don't know if it's just me, but I'm picking up, Tim, you tell me if I'm right or wrong. I'm picking up a growing frustration with you at your football program. I was just remembering back to 2019, and Mark, Will Muschamp's the guy. That was your take. I've been wrong about plenty, Tim. It's okay. Will Muschamp's the guy. 2020, Will Muschamp's got to prove something. 2021, I'm excited and pleased and happy with Shane Beamer. Let's expect to win. 2022, I'm detecting a little bit of disappointment and frustration with you with the Gamecocks. Is that accurate? What is that based in?
Yeah, I don't know if that's quite accurate. Is there some frustration? Yes, and the frustration comes with having to keep starting over, even when instead of new coaches coming in and then being able to build on what you have here and then kind of drive towards their goal, what they want to do with the team. It seems they're complete restarts. So now you're starting the process over, and people start talking about, oh, we're going to need 4 or 5 years down the line. And, then the next coach comes in, you start that over. Frustration comes in when you see programs like Kentucky and Tennessee being able to build towards the identities that they're trying to do. Yes, their coaches have been in place a little longer. They took their lumps, early, but it was a constant build towards where they're at now. Whereas it seems that, we just keep continuously spinning our tires. And I just want to see some forward progress. So that's where the frustration might come in a bit.
Tim Frisbee joining us here on the show. That does seem to be the case. So with that said, and the piggyback on what you just said, how much patience should the fan base, the administration, have with Shane Beamer? We just saw Jeff Collins get the axe at Georgia Tech. And what we've seen, and I think a problem for Jeff Collins was in year one, he had a bunch of square pegs and round holes. He was, you know, had Paul Johnson's triple option players, and he's got them playing a totally different system that they were recruited to play now. And what I've experienced, Tim, is that the rah-rah stuff and, you know, like let's drum up some energy and drum up some booster funds and all that stuff about the vibe and energy of a new coach, that lasts into season three. And in season three, people better see a step up. If they don't see a step up in season three, the rah-rah stuff no longer works, and Jeff Collins was fired after four games of season number four. As you look at Shane Beamer, the rah-rah stuff is in full, and I'm not trying to denounce that at all or lessen the importance of that. Like, Shane Beamer's done a lot of work to rebuild the culture at South Carolina, and I think he's done a lot of positive work there. You know as well as I do, Tim, that it comes down to results. You know, like, you want continuity. You want consistency. So how long until you have an answer there?
Yeah, and that's part of the problem because, you know, what you see, you start seeing in the beginning, you and we're going through that period now, there's a bunch of excuses. Well, you know, they're playing with must-chance players or, you know, they're not playing with players that quite fit the system we're trying to do. You know, those excuses start, like you said, start running out after year two or three as the players come in that you've recruited. What I'm frustrated about is the development aspect. As high as our recruiting classes have been, it doesn't seem like players are being developed, you know, the 3-4-star, you know, you got a handful of 5-stars, but mostly 3 and 4s are not being developed to the levels of other teams that we kind of fit in the mold with in the Kentuckys, Tennessees, you know, the Ole Misses in the SEC seem to have better development going on. I don't know what the problem is, but that's a frustrating factor as well. So, like you said, you start getting to year 3 and 4 and you want to see, you know, some progress made. And, you know, that's when people's trigger fingers start getting itchy as far as them looking for new coaching if things aren't getting done.
South Carolina moves the game up with South Carolina State. And, you know, there was a major scheduling advantage. This is not an excuse, Tim. You played, you know, you can tell me how much this stuff factors in. But last year, for instance, Florida was a 20-point favorite going to South Carolina. They lost by 23. It was one of the biggest swings you'd ever see in a betting line. And a big part of it was, that's not an excuse, I think Florida quit after that Georgia game, and I want to give the Gamecocks a lot of credit. You know, poorly coached teams quit. This week, Kentucky goes to Ole Miss. All right, that is a major game. Major, major game. South Carolina not only got a virtual bye week with South Carolina State, but then they get a couple of extra days now by moving that up. Can you share with me, Tim, as a player, how much that stuff and the scheduling and the wear and tear of what Kentucky's doing to themselves relative to what the Gamecocks are doing, how much is that going to matter when the Gamecocks face Kentucky 11 days from now?
Well, it's definitely going to matter from a planning standpoint. First, we're going to be able to do more installs. You're going to be able to, no matter what people think, a day or two difference in rest also helps teams a heck of a lot. You know, young guys, you know, they recover faster. So you give an extra day or two of rest from recovery from a tough Saturday game versus a midweek game that's not going to be as tough for South Carolina. You're talking about all kinds of advantages across the board. So, yes, just from, you know, time in team meetings to, like I said, to installing new things, going over exactly what you want to do in that game, you're getting extra days to do all of that, and that's going to, I think that's going to be beneficial for South Carolina going into that Kentucky game for sure.
Do you think Kentucky is a winnable game?
You know, I think it's winnable, but South Carolina is going to have to start firing on the cylinders that we thought they're going to be firing on as the season started. Like you said, they think they got confidence now in their running game. That's going to have to be in place. They're going to have to make some downfield passes. So it's a winnable game, but you're going to have to play good football. Kentucky's a very disciplined team defensively. You know, they can play well offensively in spurts as well. So, you know, no easy way about it. Kentucky will come into that game favored, but South Carolina definitely has a chance, and it's definitely a winnable game.
Tim, I'm curious. I was asked by a listener, and I'm going to reveal my answer coming up a little bit later in the show. I'm looking at at the rundown now. It's coming up at 4 o'clock. Tim, would it be okay with you if we did a hypothetical, what would South Carolina finish with Clemson schedule? Could you do that with me?
Sure.
Okay. Georgia Tech in Atlanta, first game of the year. Do the Gamecocks win that game?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know if it's that clear cut, but I say yes. Okay, I say yes. Furman, week two.
Yeah, South Carolina would win that one.
Okay, Louisiana Tech, week three.
Yep, South Carolina wins that one.
At Wake Forest. Come on, man.
Now, based on how Wake Forest is playing, I wouldn't say that's a given for sure. So,
okay, that's a loss, right?
Just say South Carolina loses that one, yeah.
Okay. North Carolina State, that's a loss, right?
Yeah, you would think so, the way they're playing now, correct, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, at Boston College.
They beat Boston College.
Okay. At Florida State.
Now, this one, Florida State, you're looking at them right now, and you're saying they're playing well. My thing is, Florida State's is still a fugazi, as they say on Donnie Brasco. They're a fake. They're going to be exposed by the time the season pans out.
You think so?
Yes,
okay, well,
absolutely.
Okay. Well, they get Wake Forest this week. Florida State gets Wake this week. So
Wake
you think Forest think they lose this week?
Yeah, they're losing this week to
Wake
Forest.
But South Carolina at Florida State, that's a loss, right?
Yeah, you would have to say that based on everything that's going on right now. Yes.
Okay. Syracuse at home. Syracuse is now ranked, Tim.
Yeah, they're playing well, too. That would be a toss-up, just because they're Syracuse. You don't expect much out of them, even though they're playing well now. But you would say that's a toss-up. Let's say I would give that to South Carolina.
Okay. So through Syracuse, 5-3. At Notre Dame. Come on, man.
I think we'd lose to Notre Dame.
Yeah, okay. So then you got Louisville at home and Miami at home.
Yeah, well, based on the way both of them are playing, I would give those to South Carolina. Both of those teams are really playing bad right now, Louisville and Miami.
Okay, so you got 7-4, and then the crossover game. If you're playing Clemson's schedule, you still play Clemson, and that, Tim, is a loss. I'm not even going to give you the option to say it's not a loss, okay? I'm not going to give you the chance. So Tim says with Clemson's schedule, South Carolina goes 7-5. I have a different answer than Tim, and I'll reveal it to you at 4 o'clock this afternoon. I have a different answer, but I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. But the moral of the story is, Tim, people talk about this stuff all the time, like Clemson if they played South Carolina's schedule, South Carolina if they only played Clemson's schedule. 7-5 in Clemson's schedule's not that different from the expectation for them in their own schedule, is it not?
Yeah, because of the way South Carolina's playing right now, not that, you couldn't get to you can get to the level, obviously, where if you're playing like the team you're supposed to be and the team that you have been in the past, then you're talking a whole different thing. But I get where you're going with that. When people argue about SEC versus ACC scheduling, and in this case, you're talking about Clemson and South Carolina. Yeah, it kind of works out that way. But overall. I'm looking at Clemson. They're playing this schedule now. They're a much better team, and I don't see any roadblocks in their way other than NC State this weekend. Other than that, there's really no problems on the schedule no landmines on that schedule for Clemson. And we saw in the Wake Forest game, DJ can be a very good quarterback if you're not getting pressure on him. Heck, he could have a Sunday picnic lunch back there against Wake Forest on Saturday. They were getting no pressure at all. He's a good quarterback, but if you get pressure on him, he's a different type of quarterback. He starts making mistakes, and you're going to see a different result. And I think the only team left on Clemson's schedule that could do that to them is probably North Carolina State. So we'll find out a few things this Saturday.
Well, you really are not a believer in Florida State, huh? I get it. I get it in this sense. I don't think LSU's any good. They beat him by a blocked extra point. We know that Louisville isn't any good. They gave up 31 points, won in a late fourth down stop. Boston College is the worst team in the ACC. They pounded them, but they do look better than they have, do they not?
Yeah. But and to that point, a team doesn't change overnight. You know, I'd like to see a few seasons of consistency with Florida State. Then I say, yeah, Florida State's back. But a team that's been losing that long, doing the things they've been doing, doesn't really kind of change overnight. Yeah, they can get some confidence and do a few things, but I think it kind of comes out in the wash later in the season that they're probably not as good as they're looking right now, but they're better than they were last year for sure.
There you go. His name is Tim Frisby, and he played for Lou Holtz, played for Steve Spurrier, was on Jay Leno, was on David Letterman. Tim, we appreciate this. Feels more like a pregame interview this week with the moved up game, brother, but we appreciate you, man, and enjoy it, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Absolutely. We'll see you next Tuesday.
All right, take care. All right, bye-bye. That is Tim Frisby, and his name is Pops. By the way, Diesel. Okay, I got a question for you, Diesel. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tim Frisby has now said, I can't believe I'm doing this, Diesel. This is something I'm going to say one time, and I'm going to move off of it. Tim has closed 3 weeks in a row, Diesel, with "See you next Tuesday." Is he doing that on purpose? You get where I'm going with that, right?
Is he calling you a "see you next Tuesday"?
Yeah, he said every 3 weeks in a row, Tim has said "see you next Tuesday." Mm. Those have been the last words out of his mouth. Is that purposeful or is that accidental?
I don't know. We need to consult some marquees in the Columbia area.
Yeah, we do.
To find out if the scuttlebutt is they're really upset at you down there.
Yeah, well, next week when we have him on, pay attention to that. See if he, like, closes again with, "see you next Tuesday." Okay? I'm curious. That's all I'm going to say, guys. If you know what we're getting at, tip of the cap to you. All right? Tip of the cap to you. Coming up next on the show. Folks, we've asked you, who are your least favorite people in sports? I'll bring you into a little lesson I got today on the backstory of a game going on this weekend that motivates this question. That's next, and this is the most interactive sports show anywhere. It's Offsides. Mark Ryan and Diesel, and we are the Fan Upstate. It's Offsides. Mark Ryan and Diesel, we are the Fan Upstate. Wonderful to have you guys with us here on a Super Tuesday edition of the show. So, folks, this is interesting to me because this was going on and was taking part. You know, this was going on far before I got here, okay? The beef between Dave Doran and Dabo Swinney. And so part of that involves me learning from you. I can do a Google search, but I don't think anybody has the scoop, the story, etc., as well as you guys do, right? So if you can, give me the scoop as to the origin of the beef between Dabo Swinney and Dave Doran. I asked Shadow of Death Valley, who's a P1 listener and somebody I tweet often with on Twitter today. I said, can you please bring me up to speed? He said, sure, I'll try to keep it brief. I think these are the main sticking points between the two coaches. In 2015, there was a slight incident on the sideline in Raleigh between Deshaun Watson and a North Carolina State assistant coach. After a play, nothing major, but one of their staffers kind of had some words for Deshaun after he ran out of bounds. It's funny. You go into an article on what's going on between the two of them. And he said, Bridget Condon, a reporter, said she just rode the elevator with Dave Doran and Dabo Swinney. None of us spoke. She says it was adventurous. It was adventurous. Guys, like, what is the origin of the beef there? Like, I really need some scoop as to what the origin of the beef is. I know that they don't like each other. I don't fully understand the why. I know that there have been some frosty handshakes between the two. Pigskin Pete tweeted me an answer to this question. He says, it's really more of Dave Doran's beef than Dabo's. Dabo has taken the high road. Dave's been at NC State since 2013, and his only win versus Dabo was last year. In 2017, he accused Clemson of cheating by having a laptop on the sideline. Then the next day, he backtracked. There's also a controversy that Dave bragged about injuring Clemson running back Wayne Gallman. I think the beef is more fan-driven than between the two coaches. These schools just don't like each other. Outside of U of SC, this is Clemson's most hated rival. We were talking about this. Last week we said Wake Forest was Clemson's number four rival, you know, behind South Carolina, Florida State, and North Carolina State. Do you guys think NC State, have they leapfrogged FSU as the number two for Clemson? And speaking of the Wayne Gallman thing, like, I don't get how people don't make a bigger deal out of this. Like, this was, you know, all the coaches, the day after their games, they do their local TV show, and it's cheesy, and it's all like, you know, blowing smoke up your fan base's skirts and nothing but rainbows and gumdrops. But I want you to listen to this, because I don't know how you could mistake this to mean something else. In his call-in show, Dave Doran, like, speaks about taking Wayne Gallman from the game, knocking him out of the game. It's like he speaks of it with a badge of honor here. Check this out.
Clemson to just two plays of 20 yards or more on offense. In retrospect, did you end up doing a lot of the things that you felt your team needed to do in order to win?
Yeah, we did. You know, I mean, we knocked their tailback out of the game. We had two goal line stands, four
What? Like, did you do the things you needed to do to win? Yeah, we did. We knocked their tailback out of the game. Like, he says that, and it's like he's got a checklist of things that you need to do to win. Knock their tailback out of the game, check. Stop the run, check. Win the turnover battle, check. Knock the tailback out of the game. How are people not making a bigger deal out of that? You know, like I don't know. You know what it comes down to me, folks? It reminds me. I think it's good versus evil between these two. I think Dabo is a really good person and a good human being, and Dave Doran seems shady and skeevy and sketchy and all of the above.
The only person to smoke a cigar in celebration and not look cool is Dave Doran.
There you go. That's our guy, the Clemson dude. That's our guy, the Clemson dude. You know, the Clemson dude also has a request for Alexa that he asks for every single time that Clemson plays North Carolina State. Here's his request to Alexa.
This year, I will teach NC State Nation how you have a victory cigar.
Yeah. And so he speaks to Alexa. You know what's crazy? Alexa, my Alexa started talking to me just now when I said that. Crazy. Craziness, I tell you. All right, my friends, what can you share? What can you add as a resident of the upstate to the Dave Doran and Dabo beef? What are the origins of it? How did we get here between these two coaches? And most importantly, who are the worst people in sports? And why is Dave Doran first on that list? That's next. This is the most interactive sports show anywhere. It's Offsides. Mark Ryan and Diesel, the Fan Upstate.
Listen on your phone. Download the Odyssey app and search Upstate.
Sports Flash.
And it's sponsored by Progressive. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. The Giants suffered a big loss last night when Sterling Shepard went down on the final offensive play. He's now done for the year. After suffering a torn ACL in his left knee, the veteran receiver was the lone.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.